Turn with me to the book of Genesis, please, chapter 9. Continuing our studies and meditation, the prophecies of the Word of God. We had on last Sunday the first prophecy of Genesis 3 and 15. How that the Lord put enmity between Satan and the woman, and between her seed and the seed of Satan. But with the prophecy of the promise that though the heel of the woman would be bruised, yet the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. This morning I want to read of the next prophecy, which has to do with the separation of the human race into three groups and prophecies pertaining to them. It's essential that we know these prophecies to understand what is transpiring in the world today. Were it not for the Word of God and the prophecies of the Word of God, we could have no understanding of things transpiring in Winchester and in Miami. But I cannot understand why Miami wants their school system filled with teachers like the one in Winchester. And I cannot understand how decent men and women castigate anybody that takes a stand against such. But the Word of God tells us, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. But today, we're going to be thinking about as it was in the days of Noah. I read the first verse of the ninth chapter. After the flood, after the disembarkation of Noah, his family, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's the second time God had given that command. He spoke that command to Adam and Eve. Now with the destruction of all the human race except Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, he gives a command again. Verse 18. The sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken. He was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both of their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now we come to the words of the prophecy. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Thus concludes the second prophecy of the Old Testament, which we witness being fulfilled all around us today. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of a portion of His Word. One purpose of the prophecies of the Word is to make known to us that which is to come to pass in days that lie ahead. Another reason for prophecy is that with the fulfillment of prophecy, there comes to us the realization that God is omniscient, that He does know all things, as evidenced by the fact that God challenged those who worship false gods to bring forth their gods and let them foretell the future, if they be God, that they could not do. We're told in the Word of God that perilous times are coming. We're told that the days are coming in which men will call good evil, and they'll call evil good. We see that on every hand today. And it seems to me, as I've studied through the Bible the past few years, that man delights in seizing upon the commandment of God and then exercising himself to the contrary. If God commands a certain thing, then man says that isn't true and does the opposite. With this prophecy which I just read concerning the prophecy of Ham, first of all, I want to disabuse your mind of a heresy propagated by many Christians that these utterances of Noah, were the drunken babbling of an alcoholic. Such is not the case. The words uttered by Noah are the words of God. Now, the sin perpetrated by Ham was not the cause of the prophecies. They were the occasion of the prophecy, but not the cause of it. Those words of this prophecy would have been uttered whether Ham sinned or not. But Ham's sin gave occasion to it, but did not cause it. In research of the things pertaining to Noah, with but one or two exceptions, all I could find were sermons on prohibition and castigation, rebuke of Noah for making a fool out of himself, despite the fact that there's no condemnation in the Word of God for what Noah did. I don't think that this was the first time Noah made wine. I think he was a vine dresser, keeper of the garden before the flood. But prior to the flood, the wine which he made was not intoxicating. Fermentation resulting in intoxication from overindulgence was produced by the flood. Prior to the flood, there was a canopy of water above the heavens. That is, the atmospheric heaven. And that canopy of water completely surrounding the earth made possible the diffusion of light with the diffusion of heat so that atmospheric conditions were practically the same the world over. We read in the prophecy of Zechariah that in the day of restoration of all things and the restitution of all things that canopy of water will be replaced. Once again, there will be the diffusion of light so that we'll not be able to tell whether it's day or night, and diffusion of heat so that the hothouse conditions will prevail around the earth. The flood was produced by that canopy of water being released by God and brought down to the earth. And when that took place, the actinic rays of the sun, which had been filtered out by that canopy of water, had direct access to the earth. Produced shortness of life, produced the destruction of the fiber of man's body, fiber that's reproduced only by the eating of meat, and that produced fermentation. So when Noah and his family came off the ark, and he once again planted the vineyard, made the wine, he drank it, and he became drunk. As I said a moment ago, we find his name in the Hall of Fame of the heroes of the faith in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. We find no word of condemnation from God because of his drunkenness. But he got drunk. Not much is said of the sin which the son, younger son, Ham, committed, or the wrong perpetrated upon his father. But look at verse 24. Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Some act had been perpetrated against the body of Noah. Noah, awaking from his drunken stupor, could not ascertain by his physical condition that Ham had seen him. It was something else. The days of Noah were similar to the days of Lot, and the sins prevalent in the days of Lot also came out of the days of Noah. The old Jewish rabbis leaned to the belief, because when we come to the curse pronounced upon Canaan, many of the old manuscripts say, "Cursed be Ham, the father of Canaan." And not just "cursed be Canaan," but more of that in a few moments. The older rabbis were of the conviction that Ham, being black, didn't want any more brothers or sisters born of Noah to be black. It's their thought that Ham, seeing his father drunk, and exposed to the world. I said, it's their thought that Ham emasculated his father because there were no more children born to Noah after this experience. And that was something of which Noah would be supremely conscious when he awoke. And he knew that only his younger son could perpetrate such a deed. That's in the realm of speculation. But grievous experiences call forth grievous curses. And Noah said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. Some of the Septuagint translations say, cursed be Ham, the father of Canaan. Some of the older Hebrew manuscripts also say the same thing. This has seemed to me the most reasonable explanation. In the Hebrew, this prophecy of Noah is in metric form. I don't know whether you ever had to scan poetry or not. When you're in school, sound off the beats and mark it. But we did back when schools were schools, etc. And the rhythm of the meter does not carry through the whole thing. But if it's allowed to stand, as some of the translations of the Septuagint, or versions of the Septuagint, and the older Hebrew manuscripts, the metric system is perfect. Cursed be Ham, the father of Canaan, etc., on through the whole prophecy. Ask your school teacher to scan it for you, or give you the meter of it. But it's immaterial in one sense of the word. Now here is the curse, as the King James translation has it, upon Canaan. Cursed be Canaan. Now, we read here in the 19th verse that from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the whole world is to be populated. The whole world populated by those three heads of divisions of the human race. And despite all efforts of man to the contrary, those three divisions of the human race still persist. We have the descendants of Ham, the descendants of Shem, and the descendants of Japheth. Now, the curse upon Canaan pronounced is, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. The interesting thing in this connection is that not only the descendants of Canaan, but the descendants of his three other brothers, or his other brothers, also are under the curse. Listen. Every descendant of Ham, not just Canaan, every descendant of Ham has been or is in a state of servitude. From this line coming the servile nations. Now, you understand that posture better a little later on. Suffice just now to say that the curse of servitude was decreed upon Canaan, and it also passed upon all of the descendants of Ham. Because of his duplicity, and some of the old manuscripts unite Ham and Canaan in this, that Canaan himself was a party to the sin of his father Ham. But let's pass on to the other two, and then we'll look at the three of them together. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. A blessed passage of Scripture. The word for Lord, as you've been told repeatedly, is Jehovah. The fact that the King James translators use the device in which all of the letters of the word Lord are capital letters signifies that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. But the word translated Shem, translated God, is Elohim. Now, blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. Now, Jehovah, we learn, is the second person of the Godhead. Jehovah is the Christ. Jehovah is the person of the Godhead that revealed himself to man. It was Jehovah who appeared in the garden talking with Adam and Eve and the serpent. It was Jehovah who appeared unto Moses out of the burning bush. It was Jehovah who appeared as the captain of the Lord's host unto Joshua. It was Jehovah who appeared unto Gideon. It was Jehovah who appeared unto Manoah, told of the approaching birth of Samson. Jehovah, the second person of the Godhead. Now, blessed be Jehovah, blessed be the Christ, the God of Shem. The prophecy concerning Shem is that he's to be the progenitor, the father of all the sons of Heber, or the Hebrews. He's to be the head of the Hebrews, but there are many other who are descendants of Shem who are not Jews, children of Israel, or Hebrews. Now, here is the spiritual blessing imparted to Shem. Blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. There are many gods. Many gods. But just one Jehovah. Now, I have a God. As I see signs in various and sundry places, I think of one just now says, have you thanked God today? I want to go in and ask him, who is their God? Who is your God? Well, is it God? No. I have a God. His name is Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Now, he's the God of Shem. Many people think that Shem does not have a God. Many people think that Israel or the Jews do not have a God. They have a God. Their plight today is because of a failure to receive their God and to recognize their God, who is Jehovah. Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Shem. Now, Jehovah is my God. Now, where did I get him? I got him from Shem. I've got a book. A book that I love. A book I wish I knew. A book I love to try to teach. Whence came this book? This book came from Shem. Every book of the 66 books of this Bible, humanly speaking, was written by a descendant of Shem, by a Jew, by a child of Israel. Many, many eminent scholars notwithstanding. For there are many scholars who contend that Luke was a Gentile. All of which we can say is that if Luke was a Gentile, then the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles have no place in this book, because we're told in this book itself that God gave only to the sons of Judah His laws and His statutes. Only to them. Only to them. We'll come to the Gentiles in just a moment. But blessed be Jehovah, the Elohim of Shem. Upon Shem has devolved the responsibility of being the spiritual blesser of the other nations of the world. From them came the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Prince of the house of David. The Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew. From Israel came the Word of God. And we learn from the Word of God that Israel has been chosen to be God's witness to the ends of the earth. And the day is coming upon their restoration to the place of ascendancy among the nations. Will come then widespread dispersion, at which time they'll preach the gospel to every creature under heaven. That's the blessing of Israel. Well, a prophecy to which will come in due season. God Almighty prophesied to the children of Israel that because of their rejection of Him, that they were going to hear the gospel preached in a different language to their own. And today, if a Jew hears the gospel of Christ preached, he hears it from some Gentile. Some Gentile. And in this country, they hear it in English and not in Hebrew. And missionaries that are sent to the foreign field go preaching the gospel in English to them. And God prophesied that they would hear it in a new language and in a different language. And that is what is taking place in the world today. Now God says, Canaan shall be Shem's servant. Canaan shall be his servant. Now Canaan not only is going to be a servant unto his own group, but he's going to be a servant to the descendants of Shem. Now, says God shall enlarge Japheth. God shall enlarge Japheth. The word Japheth itself means enlarged or overspreading. Japheth is going to be the progenitor of the colonizers and civilizers of the world. God's going to enlarge him, and he's going to spread out, and he's going to cover everything. And he has. He has. The descendants of Japheth scattered over the world. It's the Gentiles who've gone into the far recesses of the continents of the globe, carving civilization out of wildernesses, almost with their bare hands, as they made their own implements, provided their own weapons for protection. Now God's going to enlarge him. But he, Japheth, his descendants, shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Anything and everything that's a blessing from God, Japheth is going to have to get from Shem. He's going to get it from Shem. I want you to turn to me, to the Psalms. And right just about the last of the Psalms. 147th Psalm. No person hated, no person despised like the Jew today. But I want you to read here with me in the 147th Psalm, verses 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. He, Jehovah, showeth his word unto Jacob. Jacob, whose name became Israel. And then he has his 12 sons. the children of Israel, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not so dealt with any Gentile. He's not so dealt with any nation. I'm encountering people every day, today, who claim they've had a revelation from God, and God has appeared unto them and made known his will to them. God has never done that to a Gentile. Not in days past and not today. What God wants me to know and you to know, he's recorded in this book. And we had in Sunday school here in the auditorium class this morning, God's command concerning this book is, you shall feed upon every word of this book. But how much easier to say, oh well, the Lord came. I heard the head of one of the more popular television so-called religious programs the other day talking about how many people Jesus is appearing unto today. He appears unto this person and visits with them and tells them what to do. He visits another and tells them what to do. Not so! He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. He has given us his revelation. And this is it. It's an interesting thing how these hyper-pharisaical, hyper-righteous individuals spurn the study of the Word of God. Claim to get a revelation. No. He hath not so dealt with any nation. Now that word nation, I've told you again and again and again. The Hebrew word for nation and the Greek word for nation is translated three different ways. Both the Hebrew and the Greek. It's translated heathen, it's translated nation, it's translated Gentiles. The same word. So when you look at this nation, you can think of the word heathen. You can think of the word Gentiles. They're synonymous. They all come from the same word. Now, he hath not so dealt with any nation or any heathen or any Gentile. Shem is the only one that had this God. Shem. He hath not so dealt with any of the Gentiles, nations, or heathen. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. The only way the sons of Japheth got these blessings, the only way they got these judgments of God, the only way they got this, is by dwelling in the tents of Shem. They got them from Shem. Now, Canaan shall be his servant. Now let's look at this. Here we have two things set forth, and I want to go in reverse. We'll start with Japheth. God said he's going to enlarge Japheth, and Japheth's going to overspread the whole world. He's going to overspread the world. Japheth is going from continent to continent, from island to island. He's going to colonize, he's going to civilize, and he's going to keep on moving. Keep on moving. There's not a place on the face of the globe today, I would judge, that has not been explored or investigated by some of the descendants of Japheth. They go, and they establish a civilization, and then, having established the civilization, dwelling in the tents of Shem, then there come the things pertaining to God. However, if you've studied history, and if you've studied the movement of the peoples of the earth in the establishment of colonies and nations, I'm sure you've come to appreciate the fact that many of the Gentiles moved in connection with the blessings of Shem because they went out seeking a place where they could have freedom of worship. Freedom of worship. And the civilization of this world owes itself to the fact that many, many Christians left their homeland and went to a new country to establish a place where they could worship God according to the dictates and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here are three groups of the human race. Three groups of the human race. And this prophecy of God. The descendants of Japheth. Those are the ones from which all of us, I dare say without exception, are descended. God took Japheth and his descendants place them across the northern part of the earth. This is at a time when the earth is still one piece. This is before the earth has been divided into continents and islands. It's all in one piece. And God takes the sons of Japheth, who are to be the colonizers and civilizers of the world, and he puts them across the northern part of the earth. He takes the sons of Ham, the progenitor of the servile nations, and he puts them across the southern part of the earth. Takes the sons of Shem and puts them across the central part of the earth. And when he gets them all placed, he has divided them up into different nations. He's divided them into different families. He's given them different national characteristics. He's given them different languages. You see, just turn the page to chapter 11 and look at that first verse in chapter 11. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. At this time, they all spoke the same language, the same speech. And God had told them to scatter abroad, multiply, and replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. It seems from time immemorial the command of God has been to go into all the world. And the command was given to Israel to go. And they refused to go, and we find them settling down on the plains of Shinar, refusing to go. And God confounded their languages, confounded their tongues. He took a group of Japheth, and he gave them certain family characteristics and a certain language. He took another group of sons of Japheth and gave them another language and different family characteristics. He took another group of them, gave them another language. Then he scattered them across the north. He took the sons of Ham and he divided them up into different families with different characteristics, gave them different languages, dialects, whatever you want to call it, and scattered them across the southern part. Then he took the sons of Shem, divided them up into different families and different national with different national characteristics, different languages, and scattered them across the central part of the earth. And then he divided the earth by waterways. He divided the earth by waterways, oceans, rivers. We also find in the division, he divided some of them by mountains and some of them by deserts. He divided them. Now, in the mistaken zeal of some people to create one people, one race, one language, one belief, one hope, one everything, they forget that it was that way once. And God didn't like it. It was that way once, and God didn't like it. Now, having scattered them with different national and family characteristics, different languages, scattered them, having divided the earth, we read in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles that God did that. God did that. God appointed the time that they would appear. He set the bounds of their habitation. They were to appear on the scene at a certain time, and they'd pass off of the scene at a certain time. God did that. God took of one blood and made many, many different nations. Paul said, in the 17th chapter of Acts, Paul said that God Almighty divided the world up into many different nations in order that they might haply seek after God and be saved. Different nationalities, different racial characteristics is of God for the purpose of their evangelization. Now, God has done that. Now, the sons of Japheth were to civilize the world. And they've scattered pretty well over the whole of the face of the earth. The sons of Shem would be a spiritual blessing to the rest of mankind. And almost against their will, they provided us with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They provided us with the Word that contains the truth of the way of life. They've done that. They've done that. Now look, at the fulfillment of the prophecy in regard to Japheth. Look at the fulfillment of the prophecy in regard to Shem. Why think ye it's something strange if the prophecies pertaining to Ham and Canaan should be fulfilled? Now, Japheth goes abroad, colonizes and civilizes. Shem comes in and he brings the spiritual blessings. There's got to be somebody to help do the work. God has decreed that Canaan shall be the servant of servants, not only to his own brethren. You don't think they want servants? One time we were looking for someone to do some laundry work when we lived in a place where there was no laundry. We drove up to a house and said to the colored woman on the porch, do you know where we can get somebody to do some washing and ironing? And she said, no, I was looking for somebody myself to do that. And well, they're looking for servants, and they have servants. They have servants, too. History has recorded. History has recorded that the most grievous slave drivers and traders have been the black. History records that. Now, I'm not in favor of slavery. I don't find God being in favor of slavery. But there's work to be done. There's work to be done. And work is honorable. Work is honorable. Part of the curse of God upon mankind when he sinned was labor. By the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread. Man has to work. The most honorable thing a man can do is to work. The most tragic thing a man can do is try to get rich without working. That's when he gets in trouble. Now, we've got these three divisions of the human race. God said it. God said it. And this is a long time before the giving of the law. This is all under grace. Under grace. Those three divisions. Now, we're not going to let Shem be a blessing to mankind. We're going to do away with Shem. We're going to do away with the Jews. We're going to get them out of the way. We'll kill them. We'll kill them. We'll eradicate them. We'll exterminate them. If we can't do that, we'll amalgamate them or assimilate them or integrate them. We'll get rid of them one way or the other. We're going to get rid of them. They are not going to be a spiritual blessing to the world. That's Satan and the world working against it. Not only that, we're going to take Ham and Canaan and we're going to put them in charge of everything. And Japheth, well, we're the ones that are going to do this to Shem and to Canaan. Now, here's the prophecy of the Word of God. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be under his brethren. That's announced by God. Let me show you something. In Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, describing the spirit-filled man. He said that slave. That slave, that bond slave, that person that had been bought by another human being and kept in his service, that slave, when he is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, let him be a better slave than he's ever been. That's the Word of God. Not a word about rebelling and seeking your freedom. You have been created for a specific task. let the Lord have His way with you. What we need is to be on the Lord's side, following His commandments, following His word. Oh Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, what more can we say? What more can we do? The prophecy is clear. We see it being fulfilled around us. And man all around us trying to hinder and prevent the fulfillment of the prophetic word. Father, give us understanding. Give us appreciation. We thank Thee, Lord, that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We thank Thee, O Lord.